Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, July 28, 2026. Apologies for no episode on Monday, by the way. Had to take care of some business. We're back in action. We'll be live for the rest of the week. Of course, we're now less than a week until the MLB trade deadline, August 3rd at 6 p.m. It is now July 28th, and the Yankees' needs have only grown with the injury to Cody Bellinger. We found out yesterday he'll be out for 4 to 6 weeks. That obviously sucks. We know that. That is very unfortunate. But with that said, we're going to break down, obviously, you know, what the ramifications of this are and how it changes the Yankees' trade deadline. But no, this is not a season-is-over thing. This is not all of a sudden the Yankees are screwed. If this happened after the trade deadline, yeah, that would be very unfortunate. If this were a situation where Bellinger wasn't coming back this year, that'd be even more unfortunate. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of 2022, where the Yankees, granted, should not have acquired Frankie Montas, so I'm not going to totally exonerate them, but they had their trade deadline. They figured out all their needs and took care of that at the 2022 trade deadline, and then guys got hurt right afterwards, and there was nothing you could do about it. Well, in this case, is it ideal Bellinger gets hurt? No, obviously not, but at the very least, it happened prior to the deadline, and now what it looks like is not only will they acquire a catcher like we knew, probably still going to get at least one reliever in here, despite how great the bullpen has been, they're going to have to acquire an outfielder, and we're going to talk about a guy that has been mentioned, and he's somebody that intrigues me a lot. But bottom line is they're going to have to acquire an outfielder. We know that. And fortunately, they're allowed to do so because his Bellinger news came before the trade deadline. So, yeah, we're probably going to be without him until September. We'll probably see him return right around the same time, maybe a little bit after the return of Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton as well. And with that, we still do stick with the idea of the true talent team come October, which, at least with the foundation of the pitching staff, has a chance to win, a very good chance to win. With that said, there are holes that have to be addressed, mainly with the offense. Now, I do want to say really quick about, I want to talk about Mason Miller really quick, because I see a lot of people saying, like, Yankees can't score, but we're talking about a closer. Keep in mind, and the only reason I mention this is because Jewel Sherman did say yesterday that he believes that Mason Miller is the Yankees' plan A still at this very moment. If they can go out and get Mason Miller, they're going to try to do that. It might require George Lombard, so maybe that's not possible. But I bring this up because understand, and I like the way Sherman put it in his show yesterday, the Pinstripe Post, that Mason Miller is almost like a cheat code in the postseason to where, obviously, if you have a lead late, it's game over. He is not just the best closer in baseball. He is that, but it doesn't do it justice. He is, it's like almost a tier above reliever. Like there's an elite starting pitcher, and then there's an elite closer. He's above just the tier of an elite closer. He is otherworldly good, otherworldly dominant. If you can go out and get him, which I'm not going to hold out too much hope that the Yankees are going to be able to swing that deal, because again, it sounds like it's probably going to have to include Lombard. But make no mistake, just because the Yankees do need offense, which we're going to talk about a lot in this very show, that's what this entire program is going to be about. If you can get Mason Miller, you do that. Because with how good our starting rotation is, I mean, that almost goes along with the idea of our offense is really in a rough spot, and if you're worried about it come the postseason, well, Mason Miller does help that, because between our rotation and between him, Bednar, and how great the rest of the bullpen has been, that would make it much easier to win games, especially if we're not scoring all that much. So I'm still very much on the idea of if you can go out and get Mason Miller, you go out and do that. And apparently the Yankees are too. Again, per Jewel Sherman, he remains their plan A. Now, some other things that we heard, let me get the exact quote down, but I actually thought there was some stuff to take away from that episode that was quite positive. Jewel Sherman said the Yankees seem willing to extend serious capital to get their wants and needs at the trade deadline. Jim Bowden also said, not that you should put him at the ilk of Jewel Sherman, but Jim Bowden also said Brian Cashman is looking for, quote, everybody and anything to get better. And it seems like where we're at now with, less than a week to go, so 6 days till the trade deadline, the Yankees are, as we know, kind of putting Lombard to the side. And I don't hate the idea of that. I hate prospect hugging, but I'm always down for one untouchable. You want to put one guy to the side like he's your dude and you truly believe in him? All right, cool. And I will not all of a sudden act like every single Yankee prospect is guaranteed to be a bust because of Anthony Volpe. I think that's a very flawed way of thinking. I understand why people go that route, but I can't automatically assume just because Volpe hasn't worked out that Lombard won't either. And when I have suggested the idea of trading Lombard in certain deals, I'll always mention it that's while acknowledging he may go on to be a 10-time All-Star. I think Lombard's going to be really good, whether it's for us or somebody else. It's going to be with us, though. What I'm saying is I don't think he's going to trade him. But it sounds like everybody besides Lombard is available. The Yankees are ready to get down to business. Now, obviously, the caveat here is that so many teams are still involved in the race, and you got to see exactly what the market's going to be. And it got off to a pretty rough start value-wise with the Curtis Meade trade for Kennelly early, because that was insane value that Boston gave up. But in terms of offensively, unless you're looking at a C.J. Abrams, unless you're looking at a Jeremy Pena, which I just don't see, I especially don't see Pena happening because I don't think the Astros would trade to us. C.J. Abrams we'll talk about maybe, but otherwise, I don't think offensively the Yankees are going to be looking at massive deals that require an insane amount of prospect capital going back. Like, I believe they will get Ryan Jeffers. Not saying that'll be nothing of a return, especially because the market for him is going to be quite high, but that's not going to be costing a crazy arm and a leg. You look at what they might do outfielder-wise. I mean, there's options that are out there. And the guy that we're going to talk about, spoiler alert, is Seiya Suzuki, which we'll get into that in a moment. There's a reason why I bring this up. I'm not just speaking out of my you-know-what. But in the case of that, a lot of the deals Yankees may be trading from a strength in their pitching. So if they're giving up Will Warren in a certain deal, or they're giving up Elmer Rodriguez, or heck, even Carlos Lagrange, we'll see if he potentially gets moved this deadline. Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones. With Lombard to the side, everybody else being available, and if they were all to be included in trade talks, it's not going to be any sort of return that we're stressing over all that much. Yeah, it might cost a lot, and you figure that it probably would, given what the Boston and Nationals trade was. But at least from the fan perspective, obviously the front office is different, but from the fan perspective, like, I won't be losing any sleep over departing with Will Warren. Although, with that said, on paper, he is a young, controllable starter that is solid. Or Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones. You go to the pitching prospect side of things. Elmer Rodriguez, Carlos Lagrange. Lagrange maybe being at the forefront of that, of guys that, like, I'm not looking to trade, but I'd have no problem doing. In the end, you go past that. The deals, the packages that Brian Cashman will create, offensively at least, to get Jeffers, to get an outfield bat, it doesn't worry me all that much about what it could cost. And some would say, well, with the loss of Ballinger, we're looking at a lot of deals that we have to make now. It's becoming unrealistic. Not really. Not really at all. Right now, if we're just going at catcher, an outfielder, and reliever at the bare minimum, that's three. And then I would like an extra piece on top of that. Say it's two relievers and a catcher and an outfielder. Say it's one reliever, catcher, and outfielder, and then an additional bat on top of that, maybe Luis Arraez. That's a four-player deadline. We've seen Brian Cashman do that in his sleep. Last year was a seven-player deadline. 2022 was a five-player deadline. 2021 was a four-player deadline. 2017 was a five-player deadline. So the holes will be addressed. It's a matter of which players will they go out and get. Now, one concern I do have in regards to this conversation is at catcher. I'm so good off of anything besides Ryan Jeffers at this point. Now, if it's Hunter Goodman, that's a different story. But I don't see that happening still. Maybe it will, but I don't see that happening still. You guys know I've been set on Jeffers for a while, and especially right now I am. Even with the Twins still being in the race, it's expected that they will listen to offers on Jeffers, and hopefully we can go out and get him. If they don't, and they do have to settle for somebody like Tyler Stevenson, which, would that be the worst-case scenario? No, the worst-case scenario would be like a Jonah Heim or a Kyle Higashioka. Even Tyler Stevenson, I will group into that. Like, it's Jeffers or bust very much for me. Jeffers or Goodman, and then bust. That concerns me a little bit. Because Austin Wells is starting to hit a little bit yesterday. He is starting to hit. And yesterday we had the report come out from Chris Kirschner where the Yankees still do believe in Austin Wells, which I don't mind the idea of that, the principle of that in terms of next year. The way I see it is, long term, I'm still willing to give Austin Wells a shot. This year, though, it's, in terms of trusting his bat, it's a lost cause. You bring in Ryan Jeffers, and when you do, he is your everyday starting catcher. Not a platoon situation. He is your everyday starting catcher. Doesn't mean Wells won't play, but just talking about the postseason, he'd be every day. He's a rental, though. And then he departs in free agency. All right, fine. You give Wells a chance next year. You go into spring training, different story, whatever. Like, you let it play out. He has that year. See how it goes in 2027. Let's just say there's baseball for a second. And if Austin Wells doesn't succeed next year, it would be like another chance at the starting job. If that doesn't go well, well, then William Contreras is a free agent after the 2027 season. So the way I see it is, you go get Jeffers. He's your starting catcher this year. You probably let him depart in free agency. And then Austin Wells, next year, let's see what you got. Because long-term, I can still buy in the idea of giving Wells another chance. If that doesn't work out, you get William Contreras. So I'm cool with the idea of long-term believing him. But Christian Kirschner put out yesterday that the Yankees still do believe in Austin Wells. And it kind of sounded like, in terms of this season, that they may just be looking to strictly add what we talked about in the offseason a lot, which is just a righty backup catcher, or a righty bat to platoon. I don't want that. I want to acquire Ryan Jeffers. And then while Wells would still be playing, you know, a couple days a week, because that's how it works. But ultimately, when we're writing out the lineup, your starting catcher would be Ryan Jeffers. That's one concern I very much do have. So until further notice, we're just going to let that play out. Like, we either get Ryan Jeffers or we don't. And if we don't, it better be Hunter Goodman. Because if not, then that's going to be concerning. What I do want to talk about here is, though, the outfielder situation. Obviously, Bellinger going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. We talked about it. Is it ideal? No, it's not ideal, but he's not done for the season. This did happen before the trade deadline. So fortunately, the Yankees can actually do something about it. And they do need offense very bad. And that was the case even before Bellinger went down. Losing him is a massive loss, but he's not done for the year. The Yankees can do something about it now to at least bridge them by until October. And then whoever you acquire to help do that would ultimately probably just become, assuming for a second Judge and Stanton do come back, Judge is coming back. Stanton, let's assume for a second he's coming back. Well, whoever we acquire right now might end up being a bench back come October, and that still makes the team better. We are going to get Bellinger back as well. So it's like, for right now, this is very much an AL East conversation. We're 2.5 games back entering play today. This is about not getting to the playoffs. This is about, you do want to win the American League East. And as of right now, where the offense currently is hitting, granted, a nice win last night, a very nice win last night. Yankees now lead all of baseball in comeback victories this year, which is nice. This is about bridging us over until those guys return. And if you don't do that, the AL East is certainly at stake. One name that intrigues me a lot is indeed Seiya Suzuki. And the reason I bring this up is, well, credit to my guy Beebs. He mentioned this to me yesterday, and I started to think about it. And then I was looking back at an article from about a week or two ago, and I remembered that Jeff Passan did include him on his list, which this was a list of like the top 50 trade candidates this year. Now, he puts his chance of being traded at 15%. So very low. And this article came out, I believe, July 21st. So full context there. 15% chance of being traded. That's not very high. This article came out a week ago. But Jeff Passan was involved in this. So I do, you know, take it with some legitimacy. And what's interesting here is that what he says is, I'll just read the entire snippet here. Chicago wants to get creative to fill its pitching issues, and that means at least listening on Suzuki, who will be a free agent at season's end. Considering the paucity, don't know what that exactly means, but I imagine that means slim pickings, of impact outfielders available, Chicago could try to take advantage of the market and lean into its depth with Michael Conforto and Kevin Alcantara, which Kevin Alcantara, you'll remember, was somebody we shipped over in the Rizzo deal back in 2021. Cubs like him a lot. Anyways, if Seiya Suzuki is available, and obviously why this is interesting is because the Cubs will be looking to move him possibly to get pitching. That's something that we have in surplus. We'd have to see exactly what they want. A lot of teams, believe it or not, this may come as a surprise to people, really do like Will Warren. Maybe think they're crazy, but a lot of teams do. Could that be a return going to Chicago? Maybe. There's a bunch of other factors here as well. I mean, there's also Ryan Weathers. There's the prospect side of things in Elmer. Whatever you want to do with that, we can touch on that in the very end. But just in terms of Suzuki, the player, he would be somebody that would be an absolute perfect fit. Perfect fit for the Yankees. Stats-wise this year, really quick, hitting .267, .356 on base, .478 slugging, .129 WRC+, 18 home runs. And he's actually played a pretty solid right field this year, he has. And free agent at year's end. He's somebody that would surpass just the idea of bridging you over to the return of Judge, Stanton, Bellinger. You acquire Seiya Suzuki, not only would it be a huge ad right now, and the fit very much lines up with the Cubs wanting pitching. You get Seiya Suzuki. I mean, not only is, yeah, that bridges the gap, but also that is just flat out Stanton insurance to DH if Giancarlo doesn't return. Or even if he does, I look at the lineup against lefties come October. You could put Seiya in the outfield, and then you would probably sit Grisham against lefties. So this would be, more than anything, a long-term move, not just a get you by until these guys return. You get Seiya Suzuki, who's a rental at year's end. I mean, this would be... I want this to happen bad. And I want to make sure I'm talking about this in the right way, because again, Jeff Passan listed it as a 15% chance of getting traded. But that 15% might just be a deal like us that we're presenting here, where it's the Yankees get involved, because the Cubs would want to flip him for pitching. Well, the deal that makes the most sense would be doing that with the Yankees. We're the team that has the need. We're the team that has the pitching to fulfill their needs. If this is possible, it could be because the Yankees exist. And I'll tell you, I would want this bad. I want to make sure I'm keeping myself even keel over this, because, again, 15% chance Jeff Passan listed at. And he's Japanese. I'm a big fan of Japanese ball players. I mean, they don't play around. They play with pride. They play with dignity. They play with respect, which I like a lot. He would be my number one target here with Bellinger out. Otherwise, I mean, there's Spencer Steer. There's a bunch of guys that you can get that would more so fill the idea of, yeah, bridging us over until those guys return. Say is my number one. And that would be a box office acquisition, no doubt about it. Otherwise, though, listen, I mean, we can't get crazy about the idea of Bellinger's out, we need to do this, we need to do that. Like, not that much has changed. Unless we lose one of our starting pitchers for the year, or any of these injuries, if they're long-term done for the year, that is what makes this a different story. In the end, what do we always talk about? The true talent team come October, we're still expected to have that. So what are our needs with that team? It is a catcher. Go get me Ryan Jeffers. It is... while still a really good bullpen right now, and a really good bullpen. Got to make sure we give credit to Cashman on that, because I give him a lot of criticism, and we all did. But, like, the bullpen has worked out. I still want to add a reliever, though. So it's catcher, it's a reliever. And even before Bellinger went down, we needed some sort of a right-handed bat. So those are really the three boxes. Catcher, at least one reliever, and a right-handed bat. I would say definitively all three of those boxes will be checked. I have no concern over that. Who's the fourth guy? Because I think there will be a fourth guy. And that's really what I think make or break this deadline as a solid deadline. But I'll be like, all right, you know, we did what we had to do. Or like, all right, word, let's go. If that fourth player is acquired, or that fifth player is acquired, that extra tier of you get the catcher, you get the reliever, you get an outfield bat. It's like, all right, we're doing well. And then all of a sudden, at last minute, 5:55 p.m., Yankees acquire Luis Arraez. That's where I'd be like, all right, now we're cooking. That's what I think we're between here. Is it going to be boxes checked, primary needs filled? And we're like, okay. Or is it going to be like, yo, Cashman isn't playing around. He's getting everybody. And that's, again, what we heard from Jules Sherman yesterday, is that the Yankees seem, what was the quote again? Willing. Yankees seem willing to extend serious capital, get their wants and needs at the trade deadline. And Jim Bowden said, Brian Cashman is looking for everybody and anything to get better. It very much seems like everybody besides George Lombard is on the table this trade deadline. That being the case, I am pretty optimistic that we're going to come out of this next week feeling pretty good. I really do feel that way. I think maybe this is where I do chill out a little bit. And I assume the best until it doesn't happen. Many people assume the worst. So they don't get their expectations high and then they get hurt, whatever. As of right now, I'm under the impression Brian Cashman will take care of business. And I'm not saying he's going to go out and get Seiya Suzuki. But it could be a deal like that where it's kind of out of nowhere. Somebody that we're not thinking of. Now we're thinking about him, but along those lines. Now, C.J. Abrams, listen, I want C.J. Abrams bad. I do. Well, no, I don't want to say bad. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want him bad. I can't just toss out the bad defensive metrics. I can't just do that. He's raking. And maybe long-term, he'd be a second baseman. But to get C.J. Abrams, that would require giving up George Lombard. You guys know, almost more than anybody, I suggest putting Lombard in trades. I don't know if C.J. Abrams is the guy that I would do it for. And I get why people do want him. Like, he rakes 100%. If you can get him without Lombard, I'm 100% all on board. And I don't want to be like, yo, don't talk about this idea because you know it'll never happen. That gets boring. So I'm not trying to say that. But let's be honest. Like, the Yankees aren't going to give up Lombard for C.J. Abrams. He's a really bad defender at shortstop. Like, really bad. I want him if you can get him without giving up Lombard. And maybe I'm getting caught up in the hype a little bit lately of Lombard to where I do look forward to him getting up here. But I even think like a month or two ago where I was all in on like trade Lombard for this, trade Lombard for that. I don't know if C.J. Abrams would be the guy. I mean, I know his stats are insane. He's really going off. But if you get C.J. Abrams, it's like, all right, that's your shortstop of like the future kind of deal. And offensively, that's great. I don't know about having a team anymore that has a bad defensive shortstop. Like, that has to be an automatic that your shortstop is a good defender. If they get him, I will be stoked. I don't think it would happen because the Yankees wouldn't be willing to give up Lombard for him. If you can get him otherwise, I'm all on board. I would love that. I would love it. I would love it. I would love it. I don't think that happens, though. Now, another thing that's interesting that Joel Sherman said yesterday was kind of like acknowledging that this wouldn't happen. But you look at the Miami Marlins, who have really hit a bad skid lately. We know about their losing streak. And I feel bad for their fans, Joe. The guy I always deal with at the bank. He's a big Marlins fan. He was all excited because they were in the playoff race. Now they lost 12 in a row or whatever. So they're like on the verge of being sellers again. They're going to hold on to Sandy Alcantara. Apparently they're going to hold on to a lot of their core pieces, but who has not mentioned those core pieces was Xavier Edwards, and nor was Otto Lopez listed in that. Xavier Edwards doesn't really do much for me. Not at all, to be honest. Otto Lopez, though, Joel Sherman said yesterday, I would make the Marlins say no. And it might be very simple. You call them up, be like, hey, is Otto Lopez available? No. Can we do anything to get Otto Lopez? No. But until you hear them say that, he remains an interesting option. If you were to go out and get Lopez, I'll tell you, he intrigues me a lot more than C.J. Abrams does. And he's having a great year. He's probably playing above his head a little bit. And if I'm remembering correctly, he's a pretty damn good defender at shortstop. I would very much do what Sherman says. And yeah, make the Marlins say no and try to go get Otto Lopez. Because they probably do need to get, unless they really believe in Lombard. And that could change what we've been talking about over the last week or so, which is Lombard's expected to come up soon. If it's not Lombard, then you do need to go out and get a shortstop. Because at this point, like, we know it shouldn't be Volpe. And it probably shouldn't be Caballero playing short either. Between those two, I do still lean Caballero defensively. But the way out of this lately has been the talk of Lombard's coming up soon. Which it does still seem like that's going to be the case. Although Joel Sherman did throw some cold water on that yesterday. If it's not going to be Lombard, though, then you should go out and get a shortstop. And that's where I understand the C.J. Abrams conversation. I just don't see that happening. Otto Lopez intrigues me a lot more. I would definitely consider the idea of that. And that would also go along with the idea of like another out-of-nowhere trade, which I think we're going to get something like that. We'll get our Jeffers. I hope we get Jeffers. Reliever. We'll get the things that we expect. And then there'll be something. It could be the last day. It could be the first move. It could be today. Who knows? Where it's, oh, shit, I did not see that happening. Like, oh, all right, Cashman's cooking here, where it comes out of nowhere. And, like, an Otto Lopez deal would be, I mean, that would be box office. We can get Otto Lopez. I mean, then he becomes your shortstop. You could get that deal done without giving up Lombard, I would like to think. And then Lombard's still your future shortstop. You play Otto Lopez at second base next year when Jazz departs. And then that way, like, you're not rushing Lombard. You could have Otto at short, give Lombard a chance next year to win the job. And by that point, all right, Lombard wins the job. Otto Lopez plays second when Jazz is gone. So that would be very interesting. But when it comes to players like that, or like, say, Suzuki, very small percentage chance that those deals happen. So I don't want to talk about them too long, because then you get very much like married to the idea, yo. And I'm not trying to, you know, get us all attached to a player that we'll never have on our team. But something along those lines, like that ilk of a deal that we're not expecting, or a deal that makes us kind of go like, oh shit, I think we're headed for something like that on top of what we already know should be coming and is expected to come. Like, they're going to get some sort of a catcher. It's a matter of, is it Jeffers or is it Jonah Heim? One is much better than the other. Jeffers just makes so much sense. Like, at this point, like, I'll be pretty pissed. Unless it's Hunter Goodman, I'll be pretty pissed if they don't get Jeffers. Like, that'd be absurd. Unless the Twins are also like, no, we're holding on to him. Like, you can't offer nothing for him. And it's like, all right, well, you're an idiot. But nonetheless, I'm in a pretty good spot with where we're at right now in terms of what I think is going to come. And if it goes differently, if it's a deadline that I'm not satisfied with, we'll just talk about it then. I'm going to get ahead of it. The deadline's on August 3rd. It's less than a week from today, so then I can just react then. And if Brian Cashman fails us, trust me, we will talk about it. But for right now, everything that we're hearing, I have faith that he's going to get the job done. Maybe even and then some. Because he knows what we know. This is the year to go all in. For every reason that we've talked about at length every single day here. So that's kind of where I'm at, yo. I mean, like, listen, losing Bellinger sucks, but we're going to get him back. Losing Bellinger sucks, but it happened before the trade deadline. All these things that have gone down all happened when we still have a chance to improve the team. Unlike back in 2022, where, first of all, you acquire Andrew Benintendi. He gets hurt after the deadline. That stunk. DJ LeMahieu gets hurt right after the trade deadline. So, like, all those things that happened, you couldn't do anything about. Well, now, in this case, we can do something about it. And that's also just part of baseball, yo. Like, no, the season's not over. Just, that's how it goes. It's fun. Adversity. Last night's win was awesome. How about Ali Sanchez, by the way? Not ideal, Volpe dropping that ball at the end, but what are you going to do? I know. You just catch the ball. That's what you do. Yo, that's the end of this episode, though. I got to prepare baseball today. Again, sorry for no episode yesterday, but we'll be back at it tomorrow and every day for the rest of this week. Not going to have a watch party tonight. Apologies for the last couple of days, no watch parties. I've been having to take care of some business, which I got to do again today. I have to go home and do something. But otherwise, we'll be back soon. We'll have full trade deadline coverage the day of as well. We'll be live a lot more going forward. Just bear with me over the next, like, today and tomorrow. But otherwise, the morning show, we're here every single day for the rest of the week. And then we'll be back to our Monday through Friday. But yeah, click like in the stream. It does help out a great deal, if you don't mind. And yeah, game two tonight. Cole's pitching. It'll be Cole versus, I believe tonight's Davis Martin, if I'm not mistaken. No. Tonight's, we're facing Anthony Kay. Cole versus the lefty Anthony Kay. We'll see what we do against him. Tomorrow is Cam versus Davis Martin on Wednesday. And then Thursday is Ryan Weathers versus Sean Burke. But yo, that's going to do it for this episode. I hope you guys, hope you all have a great rest of your day. And we'll see you tonight for a watch party. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow with those. Again, just got to take care of some business. But until then, till tomorrow morning, have a great rest of your day. And yeah, let's go Yanks.